This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we mosey further along in the Psalter with Psalms 68 and 69. Let God arise. The Lord gives the word. The mount God desired. Awesome is God in his sanctuary and no foothold. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Holy God, holy and most gracious Father,
have mercy and hear us.
Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
I believe
in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, those who seek my life, they are stairs. Those who
reading from Genesis chapter 33. And Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau was coming, and 400 men with him. So he divided the children among Leah and Rachel and the two female servants. And he put the servants with their children in front, then Leah with her children, and Rachel and Joseph last of all. He himself went on before them, bowing himself to the ground seven times until he came near to his brother. But Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. And when Esau lifted up his eyes and saw the women and children, he said, "Who are these with you?" Jacob said, "The children whom God has graciously given your servant." Then the servants drew near, they and their children, and bowed down. Leah likewise, and her children drew near and bowed down. And last, Joseph and Rachel drew near, and they bowed down. Esau said, "What do you mean by all this company that I met?" Jacob answered, "To find favor in the sight of my Lord." But Esau said, "I have enough, my brother. Keep what you have for yourself." Jacob said, "No, please. If I have found favor in your sight, then accept my present from my hand. For I have seen your face, which is like seeing the face of God, and you have accepted me. Please accept my blessing that is brought to you, because God has dealt graciously with me, and because I have enough." Thus he urged him, and he took it. Then Esau said, "Let us journey on our way, and I will go ahead of you." But Jacob said to him, "My Lord knows that the children are frail, and that the nursing flocks and herds are a care to me. If they are driven hard for one day, all the flocks will die. Let my Lord pass on ahead of his servant, and I will lead on slowly, at the pace of the livestock that are ahead of me and at the pace of the children, until I come to my Lord in Seir." So Esau said, "Let me leave with you some of the people who are with me." But he said, "What need is there? Let me find favor in the sight of my Lord." So Esau returned that day on his way to Seir. But Jacob journeyed to Sukkoth and built himself a house and made booths for his livestock. Therefore, the name of the place is called Sukkoth. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Two nations are in your womb. Two peoples shall be separated from your body. One shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger. This is the promise and prophecy that our Lord spoke to Rebecca as she groaned under the pains of her children struggling against one another in her womb. It is a warfare that spills forth from Rebecca's womb as both Esau and Jacob contended against one another for the promise of blessing, the right of the firstborn. And this tale, it's one that's as old as time. It's one that has claimed many lives and echoes with familiarity in our own ears. And it's a wonder that it did not end for Rebecca's children as it did for Eve's. For when Moses tells us that Esau hated Jacob and sought to kill him, it's rather easy to understand just why that is. Jacob was to be ruler over the nations and master over his brother. The younger set over the elder. It's easy for us to understand the rage and hatred for a slight against ourselves, for being humiliated and embarrassed, betrayed and deceived. Jacob had stolen the blessing that was to be Esau's. And instead, the blessing Esau receives was to live by the sword and serve his brother. He was to love and serve, but instead he chose the way of Cain. For what blessing is there in being your brother's keeper? And so it is with this seething hatred of Esau that our text today begins. And today we see this battle's end as Esau approaches with his hundreds, a man of war and a prince amongst the nations, armed with his sword and with his hate. But opposite him, we see Jacob step onto the field with his wives and his little children. He didn't hide behind them as he had just the day before when he feared for his own life. But instead, he leads his family as the head of his house, confident in the word and blessing of God. But as these two nations met, there's no blood that is shed. No cry from the earth for another son of Adam slain. The end of this battle wasn't forged by the legacy of Cain, but that of Abel. Jacob, master of his brother and blessed son of Isaac, fell prostrate at the feet of his brother 7 times, bowing himself low in humility and love. And Jacob, in doing so, didn't surrender the rights of Isaac's blessing, nor did he usurp the promises of God in this humiliation. But he fulfilled it. He laid himself low in service towards his brother. In this is the fulfillment of love, an image and type of the greater Israel who was to come. And while we were still set in our hatred against God, Christ came in his own humiliation as our Lord and Master. And he suffered our hate and anger, and his blood was shed in service toward us. We were Esau, condemned in the flesh for our hate and guile, quick to grab the sword and arm our tongues with deadly barbs dripping with poison. Far too often we see it as our right, our duty, to defend our honor, to prove our worth and theological acumen, and to set ourselves as victor over the bloodied, bruised bodies of the very men we claim as our brothers. We say that we love God. Then why have we not loved our brethren? Why are we so joyful in friendly fire when the enemy is in the trenches? Why do we speak ill of our brothers, except that they stumble just as we do, except that they are weak just as we are? Why do we crucify the very men who stand by us in the preaching of the gospel? There is no end to the divisions and sects that arise as bands of brothers fracture from hate that continues to despoil and divide. And as often as we turn against our brothers, we turn against Christ. But Christ came in humiliation to lay down his life, taking the way of Abel, so that bloodshed is no longer needed for brother to be reconciled to brother. And in so doing, Jesus teaches us that to be your brother's keeper is to give your life in service of him. In Christ's death, we were reconciled to him and to one another. No longer gripped by the hate that sets a heart aflame, the jealousy that poisons our intentions, but instead, We are given a new heart that is taught how to love, to serve in humility. And such we see with Esau, that his heart was softened toward Jacob, and that there is peace. In fact, the meeting of these two brothers is nothing but the most joyous of occasions, where Esau, who was once ready to kill and strike Jacob dead, now runs to him and falls upon him with kisses, so that these two prodigal brothers now stand reconciled together. These two, who had warred their entire lives, even from the womb, are now at peace. The angels in heaven rejoice over one sinner who repents. Imagine the jubilee when love is restored to the hearts of those who are kin, when we forgive as we are forgiven and make peace with the brother who has slighted us. This is the peace that we have from God, the peace that our hearts are given by the love of our Lord and brother, Jesus Christ. He is our faithful friend and keeper, and he teaches us just what sort of blessing there is in being your brother's keeper. It's to see the face of God. For in their renewed love toward one another, as Esau seeks to serve Jacob and care for his needs, Jacob is so bold as to say, "Inasmuch as I have seen your face, it is as though I had seen the face of God." Where there is love, where there is patience and kindness toward those who sin against us, where there is forgiveness and bearing with the sins of others, there we shall find Christ. The face of God is found in each of the brothers with whom we have peace, for it is in this peace and reconciliation that you find the love of Jesus that softens our hearts and binds us together in him. United in Christ, we love as he loved. We serve as he served. In humility, we set our hearts to serve our enemies, those who hate us, piling burning coals upon their heads. And we pray that God would be merciful to us and that he would be merciful to them. That through our charity and humiliation, we might be reconciled. For how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. And there's no doubt that this is a tall task, even a painful one. For there are those who will cling to their swords and ever seek to strike us down. May God have mercy on them. But let us, dear brothers, set aside our swords lest we perish by them, and let us walk bruised and bloodied in the way of Abel, confident in the word and blessing of God, knowing that Christ has dealt graciously with us, and that while we were Esau, he showed his face to us. In the name of Jesus.
Thank you.
remember Eric Malmstrom, the father of Thomas Malmstrom, who has received a cancer re-diagnosis. I cry to you, O Lord. Restore to me the joy of your salvation.
And uphold me with your spirit.
My mouth is filled with your praise.
And with your glory all day.
Every day I will bless you.
And praise your name forever and ever.
By awesome deeds you answer us with righteousness. Bless the Lord, O my soul.
And all that is within me, bless his holy name.
He redeems your life from the pit.
And crowns you with steadfast love and mercy.
Hear my prayer, O Lord.
Let my cry come to you.
Let us pray. O God, the strength of all who put their trust in you, mercifully grant that by your power we may be defended against all adversity. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord God, the strength of the weak and the consolation of those who suffer, mercifully hear our prayers and grant to Eric the help of your power, that his sickness may be turned to health and our sorrow into joy. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
I thank you, my heavenly Father,
through Jesus Christ and your Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger. And I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings in life may please you.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless us, defend us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life.